Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the Love Journey. And I'm excited to bring to you our show today. Good morning. Welcome to this new day where all things are washed away. I am Janine Angelo, your daily lover, your transformational life coach. Wow, author of Born to Be Rich, Master Super Filmmaker, and your radio host. Yes, yes, yes. Let me just start you with a beautiful song today. Let's start off with a little bit late. I do. You tuned in to the Love Journey, and I am Janine Ann Ingram, your transformational life coach, master speaker, author of Born to Be Rich, And I am excited because I am also your radio host of the Love Journey. Yes, you're going to get ready and tune in. Tune in to that space where we recognize that there only is one power and one presence, known by many names, and we recognize that great spirit as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, actually knowing there is not a spot that our God is not. All right, family, first let us breathe and then let us pray. Let me relax into the place of that one. Let us take in a deep breath, breathing in through our nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, releasing through our mouth, and remembering to breathe into the heart and deep into the diaphragm. Family, I want you to breathe, breathe. And release. In this right now moment, I want you to be still and know that I am God. Breathe from me and release. As you tune in to your inner I am presence, so that inner still small voice, I want you to be still. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe again, family. And release. As we tap into the one, that inner knowing, that inner presence, recognizing that every answer to every question, all knowing, all wise, energetic expression, let's tap into that higher knowing as we invite and invoke our higher presence in this right now, as we call forth our higher mind presence. I want you to breathe in one more time as we become still and know that I am, that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. Divine Mother, Father, God, infinite and holy one, as I invite and invoke our higher mind presence, our beloved I am that I am God. From the transcending power, as I come from my higher myself, come, Holy Spirit. I ask that you remove every human created thought. Come, Holy Spirit. Every human created ego, come, Holy Spirit. As I ask you to come and remove all of me in this right now moment, come, Holy Spirit. As I come empty, be filled by the presence of my higher mind consciousness, as I speak from the transcending power, as I speak from the consciousness of my God self, my Goddess self, I remove all of me, all of my human created thoughts, all of my human created ego, that I may be filled to the overflow and come and speak from my transcending power. Good morning, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, Divine Mother, Father, God, as I ask that every word of my mouth come, Holy Spirit, and every meditation of my heart come, Holy Spirit, will be so acceptable in thy sight, God. Come, Holy Spirit, as I come empty today, Holy Spirit, fill me right now, God. Fill my presence to the altar. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless every thought to be your thought. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. That every word will be my word, will be your word, Holy Spirit. And that you will possess my heart and renew the right spirit and give me a clean heart. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, divine presence in this right now moment. I ask you to come and rain down upon us right now, God. Ooh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless our thoughts. Bless each and every person under the sound of my voice, God. I'm asking for your presence to be in our presence, God, that we will feel you in our consciousness, God, that we will feel you to overflow in our space, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and speak to somebody's heart today, God. Speak to somebody's mind and remind somebody that they are more than enough, that they are absolutely more than enough, God, that they were worthy the day they were born, God. Oh, that you knew them before you placed them in the womb of their mother's belly, and you said, I had plans of success for you. Come, Holy Spirit, and bless our thoughts and remind us of our deservedness and our worthiness, God, and our value, and that we are the gift to the planet, Holy Spirit, and that we each play an important role in the symphony of life, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I give thanks right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless our minds right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless this line right now, God. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless every child that is returning to school right now, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you to keep them in the palm of your hands, God. I'm asking you to send your legion of angels out into the world right now, God, and keep every corner and every crevice and every part of our communities protected, God. I'm asking you to send your legion of angels to every corner, God, every crevice, God. Every place our children will be walking, your angels will be around them, God, protecting them and putting them in the palm of your hands, Holy Spirit. Oh, I ask you to bless our children today, God. Bless each and every one of our children today, God, that they will grow and continue to be mighty, and they will know that they will grow and even be even mightier in the land, Holy Spirit. I ask you to bless their minds, Holy Spirit. Bless their self-esteem, Holy Spirit. Bless their thoughts, Holy Spirit. Bless every word that is uttered from their mouth, God. And bless every word that they receive, God. I'm asking you to bless the mothers and the fathers today, God. I'm asking you to bless the teachers who will receive our children as our gifts today, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to bless our educational system, our government on every level, God. I'm asking you to, on the city, state, and federal level, God. I'm asking you to bless how our school system works, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to bless every school with every computer and every book, updated books, and all the updated equipment that they will need to teach and educate our children at a global level, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and bless our education. Bless our schools, God. I'm asking you to send your legion of angels and let them surround our schools today, God. Let them surround every classroom, Holy Spirit. Let them surround the lunchroom, Holy Spirit. Bless our babies as they return back to school in these next few days, God. I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and do your will upon our children right now, God. Oh, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to continue to send the energy of our adults to keep reminding our children of their greatness, Holy Spirit, giving them the enthusiasm to learn, Holy Spirit, and to grow. And to great Holy Spirit, let our children feel love today, God. Whisper in their ears, they are reminded that they are so important and that they are gifts. to us as a present, God. Oh, Father, Mother, God, of this great universe, keep our land right now, God. I'm asking you to send peace into the land, God, peace into the soil, Holy Spirit. Allow our flowers and the emanate to permeate the smell of the beauty of our flowers to bring peace into the community, God. Oh, Father God, I'm asking you to come right now, Mother God. Continue to send your love down on this planet, God. Continue to send your love into and let it permeate into the oxygen that we breathe, Holy Spirit. Let it permeate into the soil so that it'll grow the food that we eat, Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, let there be peace on earth and let that peace begin in each and every one of us. Right now, God, oh, Holy Spirit, I call forth peace right now, God. I call forth peace upon our communities, God. I call forth peace on every block, God, block by block, house by house, person by person, God. Let there be peace and let there be love and let it shine upon us right now, God. Oh, God, let them know us by our light. Let them know us by our love, God. Let us make manifest the glory of you today, Father, Mother, God, as we send light into the communities today, as we send love into our communities, as we send light and love into our own presence today, God. Oh, as we recognize and give thanks for the present and the gift that we are to the planet in this right now movement, God. I just ask you to rain down your love, God. I ask you to rain down. Let us take a love bath, God. Let us take a love bath in your spirit, Holy Spirit. Let us just be one with the one God, and let us operate in our higher mind consciousness. Let us raise our vibratory energy to the frequency of the highest frequency in the land, God. Let there be light. Let there be love on this line right now, God. Oh, come, God, and teach us how to expand our gifts, our talents, and our skills right now, God. Lead us into our assignment, God. Lead us into the place where you will have us, God. Unfold the goals of our soul right now, God. Let there come forth and let there be light, God. Let there be light on the purpose that you have designed, divinely designed us to come to the planet. God, I'm asking you to come, Holy Spirit, and unfold the goals of our soul right now, God. Let us be present to the reason, and we ask you to use us, God. Use us in a magnificent way. Use us in a way, God, that our gifts and our talents and our skills to be present in our mind right now, God. You said in your words, our gifts will make room for us, Holy Spirit. Show us how to use our gifts right now, God, for a greater version, God. For a greater reason, God, that the room will be made open, God. Oh, I'm asking you to bring an Ephesians 3:20 kind of blessing upon us on this Watch You While Us Wednesday, God. Oh, God, I'm asking you for a supernatural, explosive type blessing, God. Oh, that type of blessing where we know that only you could have blessed, God. Oh, I'm talking about thrusting us into our place of blessing right now, God. As we unfold the goals of our souls, God, as we manifest the glory of you in us right now, God, as we play a bigger game, God, as we allow the light in us to shine so bright, Holy Spirit, that the world will know that they know that we are yours, Holy Spirit, that we are your favorite, Holy Spirit, that we come to the land to bring the word that you so eloquently place inside of our hearts, saying, let me manifest more of myself through you in this right now moment. God, thank you for allowing us to be individualized expressions of you, Holy Spirit. Come, God, and do your will right now, God, or in each and every one of us right now, God, collectively and individually, God, as we shine our light upon the world. We say amen. Amen, amen. Good morning. Good morning, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, God. And good morning to all the birds, the bees, the flowers, the trees, the sun, the moon, the stars. Wow. Good morning, love. Good morning to the land and the soil, the clouds. Good morning to the earth, the wind, the fire, the waters, the ethers. Good morning to just good morning to the universe. such a beautiful day, another beautiful day in the land, that we shall rejoice in the gift of this day as we unfold the present. Thank you, God, for another day. Thank you, God, for another opportunity to walk the land. Thank you, God, for another day to walk the land with authority, mastery, and dominion. Oh, come, Holy Spirit, and let us walk in our authority in this beautiful, amazing day. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And good morning to our most beneficent, angelic family as we send our legion of angels to go before us today. Come, Holy Spirit. That these legion of angels will go before us and create an ease, elegance, and grace. Come, Holy Spirit. As we give thanks for these legion of angels, as we invite and invoke the presence of the angels into the call. Good morning, angels. Good morning, angels. Good. Sound like Charlie. Y'all remember? What's that? Charlie Angel. Good morning, angels. Good morning, archangels, as we invite and invoke the archangels. Good morning, archangels. And good morning, good morning, good morning to our ascended masters as we invite and invoke all of the ascended masters into this call. Come, ascended masters. And good morning to our master guides and our spirit guides as we invite each and every one of our master guides and spirit guides into this call. Come as we give thanks for you leading us and guiding us and being present as part of our unseen council, our committee that lead us and guide us in the unseen presence. And as we give thanks to God for all the unseen presence that's just standing around us, ready to lead us and guide us. Good morning, ancestors. Good morning to all of our ancestors this morning. As we pay homage to all of our ancestors, the known and the unknown, I give thanks for my mother, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, as we speak the name of our ancestors, whether it's inside our mind or speak them out loud, let's speak to ancestors and invite them and invoke the presence of our known ancestors. And as we pay homage even to the ones we don't know, we give thanks today, ancestors, as we invite you into this call, Miss Anastasia McAdoo, Miss Colette Grant, Miss Deborah Rick's mom, Miss Maddie Rick. As we call forth these ancestors this morning, speaking their name, we give thanks. Thanking you, ancestors. Thanking you for standing around us and leading us and guiding us and wanting us and sending us love. Thank you, ancestors, for leaving a legacy called us. And as we speak the name of our ancestors today, we give homage to those who walk the planet, who sacrificed, and that gift is called you and me. We give thanks. And as we pay gratitude to those and honor those who will come behind us, to all our descendants, we send love and light, and may we be the game changers that will create ease, elegance, and grace for our descendants that will come to the planet. Continue to live our purpose and our goals that our soul came to the planet. We give thanks. Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my kings and queens. Love, love to the gods and goddesses, millionaires and billionaires, and authors and filmmakers and entrepreneurs and all the blessed energy on this line this morning. I give thanks for your presence this morning. I give thanks because of all the places you could have been. You chose to be right here on the love journey. Thank you, each and every one of you. May you be so blessed today. And may your heart be filled with love and joy as you move and navigate through the planet today. May you feel the love in return. May this be a blessed, lovely, amazing day for you. Oh, this is the love journey, family. I know they call this a prayer line. I'll call it more than a prayer line. Call this a love experience. I'll call it a love experience because I believe our whole life was created to love. You see, I think this whole journey is for us to return to the one energetic expression, and that's love. the one vibratory energy, and that's love. So today, Father, remember to move, operate in that vibratory energy of love. As you remember that you are the gift to the planet today, as you give homage and praise to the Most High Creator for creating you. You see, because the Creator loves you so much, that what the Creator did was took part of itself and said, let me create Linda. Let me create Joy. Let me create Sharon. Let me create Robert. And let me create King. Let me create Peter. Let me create John. And let me create Carla. Let me create Z. Let me create each and every one of you and place all of me inside and send you to the planet. You see, you've been given dominion. You've been given authority. You've been given the reign and the mastery to move through this planet like the queens of queens. You are the gods and goddesses. Why are we really operating in that energy as we walk erect? When we look at the sun and the sun is shining upon our face, the warmth of the kiss, I was reminded that the universe so loves us and that even the sun was created for our good. That even the trees were made for our good. The flowers and everything was made for you to enjoy today. So as you walk to work or get out the car to walk from place to place or wherever you go, just give thanks and honor for the birds that chirp, for the sun that is shining, for the rain that may come to remind you that you I'm so loved by the universe. Good morning, family. This is the Love Journey. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And I don't think I see our guest speaker on this morning, Miss Mama T, because, you know, Mama T in her 80s, she told me, Janina, you know, I may not be able to get up tomorrow. I said, that's okay, Mama T, if you can't get up. We'll just do it another time if you can't get up. She said she just got back from being out of town, didn't know she was going out of town. So she told me last night, I don't know. She said, I may try to get up, so I'll be checking in and out to make sure and see if she's on. But Mama T just wrote a book called Round Trip from Heaven. I think that's what it's called. And she wanted to come and share with us her book. You know, I love Mama T. Mama T, I remember when she got married at 73, she married a guy like 50-something years old. They still married, and I just love their relationship. Mama T is a good-looking woman. I just want you to know she's amazing. All right, so what we're going to talk about. So what's interesting, I got a question about emotionally unavailability. So I searched and searched. I was looking for it for Z, too. So I finally found it actually this morning before I got on the line, how amazing it is. And it's a story about a girl wrote about being emotionally unavailable. But we're going to start off with a blog that I saw. Why do we attract emotionally unavailable women and men? And the first question we always ask ourselves, what's wrong with me? And maybe, I don't know if that's the thing that men say, but I know women do. What's wrong with me? Have you ever thought that? I have. I used to think that if I could just change myself, if I could just change myself enough to make my spouse, date, person, other person happy, then all would be well in the world. Then I'd get the love and attention and the connection that I always crave. But time and time again, I found that it was hard to go deep with my romantic interest. And so he goes on to say, and let me pull it up in his blog. And it's a real interesting little blog. It's quick, and then I'm going to read you. And some of you may have been on the line when I read this some years ago, because I remember even some people called me crying afterwards, this story, and I'll tell you. Now, this is his blog. This is Master's blog. He said it doesn't matter if you're gay, straight, single, or in a relationship. If you want the emotional quality of your love life to go to the next level, he said, then this is for you. He said there's nothing quite like feeling deeply connected to your romantic partner. Yeah, here's a few common mistakes that, when made, create distance, pain, and can even end a relationship. So I want you to think about these mistakes. Because are you in an emotionally unavailable relationship? The question is, why do I seem to be attracting all these emotionally unavailable people? I've worked with a lot of clients over the years, he said. He said, and after 15, 20 minutes of questioning, he said, this is what he found time and time again. Especially from the feminine energy. He said, feminine people who don't trust, one, he said, they don't trust A, themselves, and B, either consciously or unconsciously, like picking emotionally unavailable partners because they know that those partners are not going to force them to grow or, more importantly, not going to force them to be vulnerable. Come on, let's say that again. Usually we attract emotionally unavailable people, A, because we don't trust ourselves, B, because we either consciously or unconsciously can emotionally unavailable partners because they know that those partners are not going to force us to grow or, more importantly, not to force us to be vulnerable. The question you really got to ask yourself, instead of asking yourself, why am I attracting these emotionally unavailable people, we have to ask ourselves, am I really ready to be vulnerable? If that's the case, if I'm ready to be vulnerable, can you have the audacity to trust yourself? Can you have the audacity to trust the inner small voice? Because what's happening is that the chemistry of love tends to overshadow or get in the way of what your heart really wants. Sometimes we get confused. People tend to think that following our heart is some codependent thing that happens that leaves you crushed. But what I teach when I teach heart therapy is people how to literally talk to their heart, how to hear the still small voice. See, your heart is that part of you that knows you and know what. See, it really knows you deserve more than that. There's someone out there for you, and honestly, it's time for you to grow. Aren't you sick of picking people who don't force you to grow? Aren't you tired of picking people where you have the surface-level relationship, the only chemical relationship, where they're just not into where you want to go? Or just the sex is involved? Don't you want to have more, a deeper connection? So the question is, why are there so many emotionally unavailable people? The question is, why am I scared to be vulnerable? What I found the answer to that question usually stems from childhood, where we were not trained that our emotions are safe, especially if we are female. What I've seen, for the most part, I'm going to make a blanket statement, and this does not apply to everybody, but it's an overgeneralization. I feel a lot of clients who are female people and growing up were raised on how to date by their fathers, and their father never praised their feminine quality. This is Master speaking. This is not Janine. But I thought it was an interesting blog. Because some of us didn't have fathers to praise our feminine qualities, like me. So maybe that's the same thing. We didn't have our fathers to praise our feminine qualities. Never said it's okay for you to be emotional. See, the fathers always said, we want you to achieve, go and do. This is what he's saying. So I'm going to go into that fatherless wound that a lot of us have. The father always said, we want you to achieve, go and do, and look down and lock down the emotions and move forward. While there's a very important time and place for that, the masculine drive forward and work and build and business and things like that, and women are phenomenal at that, but it doesn't set people up for emotionally rich relationships. So he says fathers did that. Some of us didn't have fathers. But what was interesting, the reason why I want to bring this point out, is because society kind of says that to us. You know, oh, it's weak to be emotional, and you da 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 da. So all these things he's saying, fathers are saying to their women, to their women children, or to their sons, think about this. Think society says it to us. Our mother said it to us. Our workplace said it to us. you know, to women and men, especially women and men just from the get-go. And that's what we're talking about right now. We're talking about intimacy. You see, we've shut down our emotions because we think our emotions are weak. And we shut down our emotions so that we can't get into an emotionally rich relationship. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about relationship. And what we have to learn, especially if, is who wants a more masculine person? Why do women think it's important to come out with a masculine strong, and we got to be strong and independent? And why is it that our men are so emotionally shut down? And when our emotions is what help us heal, it's that your emotions are real. They are valid. They deserve to be cherished. And when you start to cherish your emotions and know that you're not crazy, there's nothing wrong with you being an emotion potion. All of a sudden, you start to get clarity, the proper partners for you. And really, when you look back on the people that you pick, you realize, oh, my goodness, you know what? They may have been fine or beautiful and handsome. They may have been charming. And they may have been mysterious, but a part of me knew that I wasn't going to have to go deeper with this person. A part of me knew, how do we undo that? First of all, we want to declare what we really want. So if you're really ready to be vulnerable, just declare, I want to be in a relationship with someone who's real, where I can be vulnerable. And what that requires, generally speaking, is two things: trusting yourself. What I found, especially with ladies all over the world at my seminars and my retreats, I asked women after women after woman after woman, how long did it take you to know whether you could trust him or not? How long did it actually take? And the answer I get time and time again, snaps, is that fast. You see, the female intuition is so dead on that you can tell within an instant of 30 seconds or a minute whether you could trust someone or not. So what you want to do is trust yourself, to pick someone who makes you feel safe. I don't mean bored. I don't mean emotionally safe, like I can trust this person. You don't want to make looks, chemistry, sex, passion more important than taking care of your own emotions, the number one. The second thing you want to do is call contrary action. If you've been dating a lot of people who are emotionally unavailable, hasn't really been working out, contrary action is a very simple idea. It means you do the exact opposite. Chances are, if you're single and you're looking for someone to be in a relationship with, there are probably guys or people around you right now who are very interested in dating you, but you haven't even seen them in that way. You haven't even really realized, wow, there are people that I could be in a relationship with right now. So I encourage you, if the first thing you always do is go for the tall, dark, handsome, mysterious, do the opposite. What would the opposite be? Other people around you right now who may be a fit, a different criteria, though, who aren't necessarily just full of the mystery, but who could really have a relationship. Because when you talk about long-term romance and long-term chemistry and long-term passion, the foundation of that, especially if you're a woman partner, a feminine partner, is trust and feeling safe. That's important to women, to trust and feel safe. And being in a relationship with someone who is also your friend and you have something in common with, that's important to men. See, I really want to encourage you, if you feel like you're attracting emotionally unavailable people, to really get still and listen. Get deep into your heart and ask, how can I heal my heart? We've done several sessions on this line. And I taught you how to talk to your heart. But more than that, you got to have the courage to say no to something just because it's exciting. And trust me, when you get into a relationship with someone who makes you feel safe emotionally, it can be just as, if not more, exciting than before. You see, the other thing I want to encourage you to is contrary action. Do the opposite of what you normally would do when it comes to dating and romance. Sound good? Let's talk about that. Let's talk about what would it mean to do the opposite. But before we go into that, let me read this story. Now, I read this online a few years back. It's a story that my daughter said. And it's about dating Mr. Unavailable. Woo. I tell you, Have you ever dated Mr. Unavailable? Now, I know some guys, some men on this line, too. So have you dated Mrs. Unavailable? The story is called Mr. Unavailable. Well, are you a Mr. Unavailable? Or are you a Miss Unavailable? And I thought this story was interesting. Since yesterday, I don't know, people have been really asking about relationship questions. Mr. Unavailable and the Fallback Girl. Once upon a time, I was an 8-year-old girl living next door to a high boy who was 2 years older. I wistfully watched him over the wall each day and hoped that one day he would fancy me back. But he wasn't interested in me. But that didn't stop his smiles or conversation with me from lighting up my world. A few years later, I was 13 at summer camp and blindly in love with an aloof, miserable-looking character called Dave. I actually don't recall if we ever had a conversation, and I had no idea what I was interested in. However, camp finished after 2 weeks, but my feelings stretched out for a year. Fortunately, I learned not to go for the miserable, self-absorbed, barely say a word once anymore. But my interest turned to boys and then men who would pursue me relentlessly and then toy with my emotions. Till I didn't know my arch from my elbow. I had a string of relationships lasting for months to years, so I assumed that I loved being in relationships. It was just a shame that they were never with the right guy. My love life and penchant for showing up, breakups, men that blew hot and cold, the shifting persons that I felt around these lifestyles became entertainment fodder with my friends and family, and eventually my blog readers. As far as I was concerned, the issue wasn't with me. I was just damn unlucky in love. And even when I was stuck down with the mysterious immune system disease, sarcoidosis, in the year that I got engaged and eventually broke it off, I couldn't connect with the notion that I may need to look within myself for the answer. Let me say that again. I couldn't connect with the notion that I may need to look within myself for the answer. I left him because our relationship was in a catastrophic mistake. And I wanted to be true to myself and live life on my own terms. But a couple of months later, I took up the starring role of the other woman to a guy with a girlfriend. I thought I was smart, sophisticated, a single woman about town that was in control of this no-frills arrangement, but I rapidly slid into, when exactly do you intend on leaving mode? And even issued a few ultimatums. And where the deadline passed, I was still there. My health seriously deteriorated. And as I struggled with vision, being able to breathe, move around, and the lumps that riddled my body, I wondered if I would ever lead a normal, healthy, happy life, but seemed to be stuck in a vicious cycle of pain, a vicious cycle of dangerous, codependent relationships. And when my mother said, you need to love yourself and reconnect with your spirit. Let me say that again. When you hear the words, whether it's from your mother, now this is just me adding this, you need to love yourself. And you need to reconnect with your spirit. I felt offended that she would suggest that what was happening to me in my disastrous love life had anything to do with the lack of self-love. It took 18 months of drama and broken promises before I managed to extricate myself from the affair. There were so many times when I should have walked. There were so many times when he disappointed me, but none more. So then when he left me to go home alone on a London tube after a terrible panic attack, he'd been whining about men being interested in me, pressurizing me about our situation, and suddenly I couldn't breathe and was sitting in a doorway in the middle of London trying to pull myself together. It was one of the most devastating things that could ever happen to me. And his way to deal with it was to escort me to the tube, put me on it, and go home to his girlfriend as he was too afraid to make sure I got home in one place, one piece. You see, it took 3 weeks to recover from this episode, and I was left with the uncomfortable realization that I had to find a way for things to end. It was so hard to let go of him, but what kept me focused was putting myself first. He put himself first and then his girlfriend, and if I couldn't prioritize myself, who would? If I couldn't put me first on my to-do list, who would? Like an appearing breath of fresh air, another Mr. Unavailable entered into my life. Ooh, a short while later, he seemed so nice. He actually seemed normal. And he chased me until he had my full attention. He had broken up with a long-term girlfriend a few months before, and they still shared the same home they owned. Because he pursued me, I assumed that not only was he interested, but that surely he wouldn't pursue me if he wasn't ready to move on. And after 5 months where the relationship barely got out the gate, he finally admitted, forced the discussion, that he really wasn't ready for a relationship. The frustration that I experienced with him and what I wrote on my blog after anything was the beginning of a self-defining, life-changing period in my life. While I had learned in some respects from my experience as the other woman, I realized that I would have to go through some self-discovery if I was ever going to extricate myself from this unhealthy pattern. And after all that I've been through, it was disappointing to feel like I had wasted more time with a man that was incapable of giving to a relationship. Waking up at 28 and acknowledging that I seemed to have a penchant for emotionally unavailable men was absolutely terrifying. Confronted with the truth of my relationship history, I had to accept that I'm the only reoccurring character in my soap opera called life. I'm the common denominator to every single relationship that I've ever had. And if I ever found myself in a pattern, I created. I spent years chalking up my experience and patterns to bad luck and laughing it off, either for my own sanity or for the benefit of others. But with the past 10 years playing out in my head, my health in tatters, there wasn't that much to crack a smile about. I had the startling realization that I had created my own demise. And when I first started writing about emotionally unavailable men and sharing my insights with readers around the world, I was on a path of self-discovery, and I sought to uncover what I could about them. I guess I thought by making the realization my problem was solved, but that didn't explain why I went on to date two more emotionally unavailable men and attracted plenty more. And then I reeled from the shocking discovery that I was emotionally unavailable and a commitment phobe. And that being with these men had in essence become a lifestyle choice. As I shared my insight, I was quick to say that we needed to take control and change the situation in our past, but it took a while longer before I realized that a self-destructive hand women have in the grooming and maintaining of emotionally unavailable men. As soon as I said that I was attracted to Mr. Unavailable, I got a lot of responses from readers and found that it was a very common problem. Even more common was the idea that we were thinking that we were well-balanced, happy, and just damn unlucky. And when I admitted that being involved with these men meant that I could possibly be that happy within myself, many women reading my thoughts gave themselves permission to admit this too. There was an undeniable sense of relief, and I realized that many women numb themselves to the pain of what's happening in their lives. I'm going to say that again because I coach so many people who numb. And I realized that many women numb themselves to the pain of what is happening in their lives because they don't think they're supposed to admit how difficult it is to balance your self-esteem with your quest for a relationship and all the intended external pressures. I had buried so much of what was bothering me that it seemed to have manifested itself by throwing out my mystery illnesses, showing up in my knees hurt, showing up in my back, showing up as sarcoidosis, showing up as asthma, showing up as so many diseases and dis-ease in my body, I couldn't understand. But I always used to wonder why I was the girl that these guys thought was ideal for a relationship. Why did they think they could disappear and call me up and just expect to pick up from where we left off? What happened to all the promises I saw at the beginning? Why did I always seem to draw me in with girlfriends, wives, or an ever-present mother in the background tugging his apron strings? Why did I keep apologizing for being me? Why did I always have to change myself in order for things to work? There were so many questions. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just an ordinary woman who got why to the fact that she had her finger held down on the self-destruct button. The scary truth is that while most women attracted to emotionally available men think that they want commitment, they are always one step ahead, preventing themselves from getting commitment. And every time we date and have relationships with emotionally unavailable men, we're actually sabotaging our attempts at commitment because we're with men who are inherently incapable of delivering any of the things that are required for a committed, healthy relationship. Because we're afraid of relationships. The very act of being with a man who is so patiently selfish means that at some point We have decided that we are not worthy and have put them up there as priority. And it doesn't matter that they have not earned the right for this treatment. Normally, we put someone else's need at an equal level or above ours because we're in a committed relationship. Ugly. It's not that these men are bad men per se, but they are far too caught up in their own world, their own thoughts, their own drama to see past to your needs or recognize how their actions even impact you. So what is emotionally unavailable? Let's talk about that. When you experience someone who is emotionally unavailable, it refers to their inability to access their emotion and their tendency to appear emotionally distant. You see, this inability to connect effectively and healthy with themselves or others manifests itself in a variety of habits that perpetuate the unavailability by creating situations that allow them to remain unavailable. Emotionally unavailable people struggle with commitment, whether they have to make the decision to put both feet into the relationship or take both feet out. Emotionally unavailable people will struggle to do either one because they seem to exist in a limbo state that enables them to maintain the status quo. We all have times in our lives where we are emotionally unavailable and appear to step back and retreat. And this is more often than not tends to occur when we have been hurt, need some time to heal. This is not unusual, and it is a natural emotional reflex to coping with a difficult situation. However, what has become apparent is that there are many people who are habitually emotionally unavailable. It is second nature to them, and it permeates every area of their lives, having a devastating domino effect on those that they come in contact with, the relationship or marriage. A large part of the problem with emotionally unavailable stems from the struggle with the ego, insecurity. Even when people know they are emotionally unavailable for one reason or another, even if they don't necessarily call it that, their egos and insecurities need the reassurance of this type of human interaction that occurs through relationships. They engage with people and give the illusion of appearing to want to pursue the possibility of a relationship and move forward, but then they pull back. With men in particular, you will often hear the term narcissist. Because emotionally unavailable men surround themselves with emotionally unavailable women who pander to their ego despite receiving very little in return. Let me say that again. A lot of times men who are emotionally unavailable find women who are emotionally unavailable too. And guess what? These women will do anything to cater to them in the relationship, even when they know. But then they pull back, and they surround themselves with this unavailable woman who cater to their egos despite receiving anything in return. These women will do that even though they're not receiving anything in return. While there is no getting away from the fact that emotionally unavailability amounts to the same thing, no matter what the sex of the person, it manifests itself in different ways. Emotionally unavailable people choose emotionally unavailable people that facilitate their emotionally unavailable behavior and make them feel good about themselves. Emotionally unavailable people choose emotionally unavailable people that facilitate their beliefs and disbeliefs about themselves and make them feel bad about themselves. The messages, the egos, the insecurities. While the male issue with emotional availability can be rooted in childhood and a product of unhealthy interaction, such as parents who penalize for displaying sensitivity and emotion by calling them names, calling them out of themselves because they're sensitive. You know, a lot of our men who may be more sensitive and usually are creative, usually, especially in our community, we call them words that don't feel comfortable, sissy and all the P-U-S-S-Y words, because we don't think men should act a certain way. We think men, we have boxed in the idea of how a man or a boy should act. By engaging in his behavior, surrounding themselves with women, they end up surrounding themselves with women who effectively use and dismiss and fall back on them habits, and their self-esteem doesn't take the same ongoing battle. Men don't think, oh, I'm with an emotionally unavailable woman, that makes me feel bad about myself. But they do think, if she's with me, she must be emotionally unavailable too. Okay, at least we can have a good time together. They think they have a good catch. That's what men think. A woman, on the other hand, thinks, I'm with an emotionally unavailable man Okay, well, at least we can have a good time. A woman, on the other hand, I'm with an emotionally unavailable. What is about me that won't let him try harder to access his emotion? That's what women think. I know that men hurt me. I know that men let me down, but I can't bear the thought of being alone again. Surely if I show him how much I care, he will see this and become available. Maybe I can change him. Maybe if I love him long enough, he'll change. Well, what is wrong with me that I can't get the right kind of man? Now, if the people that they engage with are not emotionally available, and when they initially become involved, the emotionally unavailable party long enough, they too end up being emotionally unavailable in an almost natural reaction to coping with the difficulty of being in an ambiguous relationship, and it begins a vicious cycle. Many women that are involved with emotionally unavailable men don't perceive themselves as being emotionally unavailable. They appear to be fighting for their relationship with these men and throwing all of their love and emotion at them, but they do not doubt for a minute that they are not emotionally unavailable. In this situation, like, really does seek light. If you're making it past the first due dates with an emotionally unavailable man and don't read some core signs that something is very wrong, it's because you have some dangerous love habits that are seriously impacting your potential to be happy and finding real love. Emotionally unavailable men thrive because they have complicit commitment phobia. Emotionally unavailable women to accommodate their behavior. Why do we accommodate emotionally available men's behavior? We choose emotionally available men because they reflect things that we believe and disbelieve about ourselves and even in our own relationship to ourselves. Women who generally want commitment that are personally happy and have a good, healthy level of self-esteem, they don't desire or chase emotionally unavailable men. We chase emotionally unavailable men because their behavior works for us. They cater to and nurture patterns within us that, despite being dysfunctional, make us feel, in some sense, comfortable. An emotionally unavailable man not only can be with a woman as long as she is carrying some negativity with herself. Wow, that's something to think about. That when we're with emotionally unavailable people, they only can be with us as long as there's some negativity that we're carrying around ourselves. So the simple equation shows the emotionally unavailable relationship. Unavailable equal emotionally unavailable equal commitment focus. Women that love Mr. Unavailable equal emotionally unavailable equal commitment phobia. Mr. Unavailable plus you plus one commitment phobia disaster. You are that woman that he relies on to accommodate his poor relationship behavior, and you're the fallback girl. Whoa. So what is commitment phobia? If you experience commitment phobia about a relationship, you have this a proportion of fears and beliefs that prevent you from being able to fully commit yourself to a relationship. You are essentially afraid of promising or vowing to either be with a person or in a relationship with them. You literally avoid commitment or sabotage and stall the process that brings it about. This is interesting. 10 surefire signs that you love emotionally unavailable men. Wow. The more emotions and drama fills the relationship, the more likely you are to be in it. The relationship must offer little or no hope of commitment. The more baggage he has, the better. That means if he comes with a wife, children, an ex-girlfriend, current girlfriend, multiple partners, the more attractive he is to you. The more ambiguous things are, the better. There are a lot of loose ends in your love life. Your ex has a habit of popping in and out of your life. You down tools each time and take them back, only for them to be unavailable again. You have difficult relationships in childhood or with family and friends. You have difficulty getting over past relationships. It might not be what you intended, but you often find yourself keeping it casual with one-night stands, flings, booty calls, and friends who you do what you do with, friends with benefits kind of situation. You have a low self-esteem, and you fear rejection. You fear abandonment. You fear being alone. You fear being single, and you may believe that there are things about you that are unlovable. You often believe that things would be different if you just wasn't so doggone needy. You think that relationships suck, dating, and the attendant emotional woes that come with it have made you jaded and apathetic. You're cynical and disparaging of those who are in relationships or trying to be. You stop trusting how you feel, and you don't trust what men say, feel, or do either. All about. It all comes back to one thing. Are we really loving ourselves? You see, it takes great courage to take a chance on love and put yourself out there in motion. But it takes a greater courage to walk away and acknowledge that something is not working for you. No, that life in the universe is always on your side, and that every single word that you speak and everything that you do, the universe is there for you. So what is a fallback girl? She's the one that accommodates. She's emotionally unavailable herself. She inadvertently positions herself as the woman that he can rely on. She puts herself in a fallback situation to massage his ego, to be available at will, have sex when it suits him, or accept little or no affection, and put him at the center of her life, even though he's not contributing to the relationship the way she would like him to, or even the way she deserves to. She will often allow him to behave as he does with little or no question for fear of appearing too needy and chasing him away. When she breaks it off at a least ditch effort to establish some balance and to escape the pain of the relationship, she would either come at her intensely to fight for her attention or disappear and then reappear in her life at a prime moment. Or he would disappear or plea off under the pretext of not being able to give her what she really wants and then keeps a foot in her life. Doing this even more uncertain period of her life, she is still heavily emotionally invested in the idea of being with him. She's waiting for him to marry her one day. And even if he marries her, she will always be the one that will carry the relationship. She will always be the one that will carry everything in the relationship. She doesn't know that she actually feels worse than she did when she was single and professed to be lonely. At times, she would feel almost obsessed with him or the idea of being with him and would spend a lot of time going over the great times they shared at the beginning of the relationship before he went dark on her. She would run through every moment of the relationship like a showreel and wonder what she could have done differently to prevent him from behaving as he does. She wonders what it is about her that isn't good enough, isn't lovable enough, isn't valid enough to warrant being loved by this man or by the other men who have gone before. She found herself in the justifying zone. That slippery result we find ourselves when we keep investing in a relationship to justify being with him in the first place so that we don't have to admit that something is very wrong. You see, the fallback girl isn't confident about herself or relationships. Quite the opposite. In fact, she's been hurt, whether it's in childhood, whether her father abandoned her, whether her father wasn't around a lot, was around but showed little or no emotion towards her. Maybe her father never showed her any emotion, or making her fight for his attention and affection. Or maybe she watched as her mother struggled with an unhappy marriage or a marital breakdown and then subsequent men that were in and out of her life. Or she may even have watched her mother take care of her father figure because he was struggling with alcoholism, drug addiction in her teens. She is likely to have sought out that loving feeling with other boys, possibly even slighter older guys, as in much case with the relationship she has found in her teens and in closet. She took her early hurt very to heart, never healing, stirring that hurt, resentment, and confusion about her experience. It is very likely that a number of the things that are unresolved have not been addressed from a more rational adult perspective. Instead, when she's hurt, she's often transported back to being a child or teenager in some respect. And these have contributed to her fundamental beliefs and disbeliefs about love, relationship, and most importantly, herself. And the one thing that you want in a relationship is to be truly loved. But it's that thing that eludes her as she's also lacking in her own self-love. And importantly, she seeks out love in all the wrong places. She seeks out love from men who are the least likely candidate for a healthy relationship. But they mirror what she believes about herself, and they reaffirm the negative things that she believes about herself, love, and relationships. You see, adulthood has done nothing to possibly alter her view, and she's built up a pattern of being with emotionally available men of various guises, meaning that pursue her and then pull back as soon as she's hooked, meaning that she goes on first date and feels an amazing connection, so she ends up sleeping with them or having some sort of sexual contact, and then he doesn't call or dip in and out of her life when he wants a booty call. Men that are married or have girlfriends who make her feel like second best, making her compete for the first prize of him being solely hers, or putting her first place. Men with issues like alcoholism, sex, and drug addiction. And even if you get married to him, men that have secrets and you never feel like you're important in the marriage. Men who constantly have you in an emotional roller coaster. Men that end up bankrolling where she is in inadvertently believes will make them really love her, but ends up feeling frustrated in you. Meaning that she can be in long relationships but with won't progress. Meaning that she throws her version of unconditional love while they blow hot and cold and remain indifferent. In the meantime, she convinces herself that Mr. Unavailable is perfect for her. He has all the qualities of a soulmate, and if I can just love him enough, he will change. And if only he could just be emotionally available to me and love me and make me feel. She always wanted these things to be perfect. You see, she's still in that justifying zone. And at this point, he would either return for a period of time where she would assume that he can't stay away from her, and she would try not to ask too many questions because she don't want to scare him away. Then he disappears again, so the boomerang relationship could change. Or she reels from the hurt, decides that what has happened is just typical. Yeah, that's just how men are. Swears off them until she meets the next Mr. Unavailable and starts the process all over again. You see, this is not unusual for her to have Mr. Unavailable going back several years. Wow. It's already at the top of the hour. I have read all that. So let's talk about why do we keep meeting these same kind of relationship patterns? Let's ask ourselves. Why haven't I stopped and reevaluated the importance of myself? Why do I keep entertaining relationships that are incapable of fulfilling healthy needs on a basic level? Do I need to go in there and heal the little girl inside of me, that little man inside of me? Is there something that's causing me to be emotionally unavailable? Or is there something that's causing me to want to date someone who is not emotionally available? Messing around with somebody else's husband or wife? Am I married to someone who is emotionally unavailable? Am I waiting for someone who is emotionally unavailable to marry me, and he's not going down that road? Am I ready to really take action, honoring the boundaries that make me the gift that I am to the planet? This is an opportunity to really take inventory of who and what I am and what I deserve. Because when it's really said and done, we only attract ourselves. We only attract ourselves. So if I'm attracting emotionally unavailable ability, then what inside of me am I not recognizing my own emotions? What inside of me have I not honored my own emotions? What inside of me have I forced to be in the background and not allowed and spoke my truth? And it goes back to one thing. Am I loving the gift that I am to the planet? Now it goes on to tell us like symptoms and different things to recognize people that is emotionally unavailable. I see we're at the top of the hour, so I won't go over that. But I want you to think about this. The question is, that came over the phone after we talked about something yesterday that sparked something. Why do I keep attracting this unavailability? It just goes to one thing and one thing only. What do you desire? What do you desire? And unconsciously, there may be some healing of the inner child that needs to happen. I tell you, there's no more powerful work than healing the inner child. I'm going through this process right now where I'm working on a new part of my coaching process that's called healing. Now, I just learned this, and it's so powerful, the umbilical cord. When there's information that is given to us when we are born through the umbilical cord, through the Mother Earth, through the universe, and if it's cut too soon, we're left feeling this insecure and abandonment kind of issue. And so that kind of plays out through our life. And I'm like, wow. So when you heal and go back into the idea of connecting back to the cord, if the cord stays on long enough then until it's time to mother, until nature actually, then what happens is we feel secure and confident. And I was like, wow. So this has been a very interesting part of my new coaching process that I'm doing with the inner child. And I tell you, it's been some amazing testimonies. And I was like, wow, it's like the light. It moves you into a space of healing so much quicker. So I've been doing the work with it myself. I can't wait to really get my own testimony and really start incorporating it really deep into my own practice. But I tell you, there's no more powerful work than healing the inner child, because the inner child is what dictates or really moves and navigates us into what we attract coming from our inner child. And as we hold on to those, because they say this is how the mind works, and then I'm going to let you go. There's a reactive part of our brain, and then there's an analytical part of our brain. And when we have some kind of emotional, physical, some kind of trauma that happens in our life or some kind of pain, whether it's an emotional pain, whether it's a physical pain, the analytical side of the brain coordinating in the reactive side of our brain. And so then in our reactive side of our brain begins to record everything that's going around us, the scent, the smell, everything. And what happens is we get triggered. It could be something that we visually see. We can get triggered by a smell, and then we react based on that trigger. And so when you go in and heal the stuff that people call it, the reactive mind, the emotional body, all the stuff, then what happens is you get less and less triggered, and you start to attract more healthier relationships. But it's powerful. I tell you, it is powerful work when we're healed. So I wanted to share that conversation with you because so many people start texting yesterday. And so I'm just going to go over the list with you about what is some of the signs of an emotionally unavailable. And then I remember when we did this a couple of years back, when I read this, I actually read the whole thing. But what happened was so many women called, and it was really finding themselves in that process. Maybe they was the fallback girl, maybe they was the other woman, and or maybe they was just in an emotionally unavailable marriage or relationship. And so many women were so here's some of the common characteristics of Mr. Unavailability. Anyway, I'm going to let you go, and I pray you have a great day. I hope that this will be a blessing to you, because if you are in an unavailability marriage, I just want to let you know that when you begin to heal yourself, it's either going to change how he responds to you, but it's going to be a little rough in the beginning, because when you begin to change and people around you, they're not used to you being important to you. Even though they don't say, oh, well, I'm not used to you being important to you. They're just used to you being a certain way. And when you begin to be important to you and start to say no when you mean no and yes when you mean yes, they're not used to that. They're used to you saying yes to everything and being there and doing. And then when you start to change, it causes a little disruption in the relationship. And people are not used to that. So you got to get used to it. And I say that because when Brinson and I first, when I first started my journey of learning to love me and I started to change, he wasn't used to the Janine that was changing. He was used to that 19-year-old girl. You know, he was used to that 19-year-old girl who, you know, was saying yes when she really wanted to say no and no when she really wanted to say yes. He was used to that. And so we had to go through that rough time in order to get to where we are today, where But he honors me being me, and I honor him being him. And he's allowing me to enjoy the parts of me that want to be alone or want to be in, you know, my own state. So what am I saying? Don't be afraid of the rough part. If you're married to an emotionally unavailable guy and you're going through a change, don't be afraid of the rough part. Because as you learn, because even though you may not think you're unemotionally available, there might be some things that shut down in your emotions. That's why you can be with somebody who's emotionally unavailable. And as you begin to be authentic and open yourself up, and you begin to ask questions and talk and be open with him, and he begins to feel comfortable in being open with his own emotions, it is a really more powerful kind of opportunity to be in a relationship. Now, I'm sure it's better if you come together like that, but I had to learn that with Brenton, you know, because we were in this relationship for 32 years. So, of course, he didn't know how to be emotionally available. Growing up as a black man on the south side of Chicago, had to be this, that, and that, you know, and he had to grow into learning a lot of things just like I had. And he didn't have, like, any examples of what it meant to be in relationships, nor did I. I didn't have an example. No relationships in my family line that said, oh, this is what it looks like to be in a relationship. At least Brenton did have his grandmother and granddaddy who was together for years and years and years, but he really didn't have in his own home what it looked like to be in a healthy relationship and marriage. He suffered a lot of lack in their home. They had a lot of, you know, moving and a lot of stuff going on that, you know, black families have. And I didn't have that either. So especially, you know, having a mother hooked on drugs, not knowing a father, you know, so we come together with our own dysfunction, coming together, serving these things that we did. We had children, and we knew that we wanted to be accountable. We knew that we wanted to try to be the best parents that we could be. But it took a lot of work. It took a lot of healing. It took a lot of, and it did take a lot of disruption. It took a lot of healing in that disruption. Both of us making mistakes, saying things that we shouldn't have said, doing things we shouldn't have did. But we knew the one thing that was important was our friendship. We had a friendship that went beyond anything. And we were healthy friends to each other. Even when we wasn't healthy lovers, we were always friends. And so some of the things that you want to first do before you really, if you're single, is to really work on your forgiveness. Because forgiveness is really not about anybody else, it's about you. And when you free up your emotional baggage and make peace with things and really heal that inner child and go in there, I tell you, that inner child work is so powerful. You know, when I honored the little girl in me, oh, my God. When I sat with the little girl who wanted to be seen, who yearned for a mother, who yearned for a daddy, when I went in there and really started doing the work, and right now I'm doing the work with my inner male energy, oh, my God, it is powerful. That little girl who yearned for her daddy, I didn't even know. I didn't even remember that. I was shut down emotionally from that part of me. And because it's 7:21, I'm going to go ahead and let this go to anybody. We can talk more about it. I guess we can talk more about forgiveness and what forgiveness does and the inner child work and some of the work that I've done tomorrow. But I just want to thank you for tuning in today. And I'll post the symptoms on the love journey so you'll see them if you're interested. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you know you're always welcome to call, email, text. Well, we can come on for a few minutes, but we're not going to stay on too long. My goal is to try to keep us contained to not a lot on the phone in the morning. But if you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can star 6. If not, we're going to keep it moving. But I want to thank you this morning, and I'm going to also post on the love journey, not just the symptom of emotional unavailability, but I'm also going to post some things we can do to heal in our emotional availability. And I just want to let you know that it is possible to heal from those types of relationships. And even if you're in a marriage and he's emotionally unavailable or she's emotionally unavailable, that can heal too. Because I've done it. Not that I'm 100% there, so I just wanted to let you know. I'm not saying, hey, Janine is here, and she got it all together. No, no, no. Please understand, I'm on a healing journey. I'm just saying I've been in that back part, and I've came a long way in relationship, being in a relationship for 32 years. But, baby, I still got a lot to go. Janine is still doing work on herself today, still learning, still growing. And I'm really excited to bring, I want to tell you about this guy I'm going to be bringing. He's in France right now, but he texted me early this morning and told me that he's going to be, but he does work, healing work that is so powerful around the world. And I think he's one of the most powerful healers that I have ever, and not to say that I have, like, the energy of knowing all the best healers in the world, and I've been, but anybody, I've never seen work like this that he does. He's been initiated in India, Egypt, Tibetan, shamanic, all kind of stuff. But his not because of that, but because of some of the things that he has been bringing out in terms of the Shakti healing, the womb healing, the power of feminine energy healing, the masculine energy, the womb to the masculine, just the stuff I've never seen or him. Not that, you know, but I'm telling you, I think he's going to be one of the most powerful healers I've ever grown to our call. And I am so excited to bring him to our call. When he gets a chance, he's over in France teaching a healing class right now. And then he'll be in London, but I'm just excited about his healing work because he does some inner child healing. He does take you back inside of the womb, inside of, he's the one that I've been learning the umbilical cord healing with. And I tell you, it's been amazing. The people that's been doing the work with him. So I can't wait to bring him to the line and we do the work with him. I promise you, family, it's going to take us to the next level. When I look in this man's eyes, I promise you, I see a spiritual consciousness that I haven't seen in anybody. This man is just amazing. And I'm not trying to make him like, oh, he's just the best thing since sliced bread. But his work is amazing. His work to me, to Janine Ingram. I don't know how you all feel but reading his books and being in his presence and just watching his stuff, and seeing the testimonies from people from all around the world, this man is amazing. So I'm excited to bring him in, which leads us to one of the things that I want to really do is to really honor our inner presence to the point where our inner light is shining so bright that we are in full expression of the God consciousness, the goddess energy in us. And he uses a lot of the feminine energy principles and the Shakti energy to heal. And his meditations and everything. It's just powerful work. And we'll see how it works and how you all, you know, take it when he comes on the line. But I'm excited to bring him to our line and take our work to the next level, family. I know that the work that we're going to be doing is going to be powerful, individually and collectively. I feel the next level energy. So I'm praying and blessing and just excited about how God is using the love journey and how God is using each one of you individually to do the work that you've been called to do, because each one of you all are powerful women and men, and you've been called to do some great work. And with some of the healing that's going to be taking place collectively, it's going to just take your individual work to a higher level. I promise you on this one, I think this is really it. Because when we can heal the emotional body, when we can heal that reactive mind, when we can heal that place in us that keeps repeating those patterns of lack and things inside of us that keeps repeating in our lives, relationship, whether it's relationship to money, self, people, whatever, when we can heal that, guess what? We really want, money will chase you and overtake you. You'll wake up and money just be in your life, all over your life. Love will be everywhere flowing in and out of your life the way you would love it to. And joy and happiness. And that's what we meant to live, a joyful, abundant, loving, filled with money and all the great things in the universe. We're meant to live abundantly. We're meant to enjoy the goodness of life. And so today, family, my prayer is that we all can move into that space of health move into that space where we can meet the relationship we desire to have, that we can meet money the way we want money to show up in our space, where we can meet joy and look joy in her face every day and say thank you, and be in gratitude for the happiness, and be in gratitude for the beauty of life. When we can heal that stuff that keeps us repeating the same old junk over and over again. Famine, feast, that's not how we were meant to live. Struggle, that's not meant for us. So today, family, I'm really excited that we can change the climate and culture of how our pattern and our life is showing up. And that's my message today. And if any questions, comments, or concerns, push 1 on the blog talk, push *6. Well, thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey family. And I want to remind you, it's Saturday, September 10th, 79th Street Renaissance Festival, right there on 79th and Racine. You don't want to miss this annual. I think it might be the 10th annual, but it is off the chain every year. I feel bad that I'm going to be out of town. I won't be here, but I'll tell you, you don't want to miss beautiful, amazing talent from local talent, DJ, music, dancing in the street, face painting, all kind of vendors, food, fun, and lots of festivities. You don't want to miss this Saturday right here in Chicago, family. The Remarkable Woman Conference is around the corner, September 23rd and the 24th. If you want to get your tickets, get your tickets, get your tickets. $85 for 2 days. The Hills race is on Friday with all the major local talent in Chicago, TV stars, radio personalities right here. And then on Saturday, that beautiful, powerful, amazing speakers who will come and teach us anything from self-love to entrepreneurship, healthy food, all kinds of great vendors, great opportunity for women getting together to network, empowering. That's the Remarkable Woman Conference. Give me a call if you're interested in sending a lady from the shelter, if you're interested in coming. Tickets for Sunday is $35. Saturday is $35. Friday is $50. The tickets on Friday go to the Pumps organization. So the money goes to help teenagers in the Pumps organization build their self-esteem, understand what it means to love themselves, and all many wonderful things they love in the Pumps, they learn in the Pumps organization. Saturday is the Remarkable Woman Conference. It's $35. 2 days is $85, and the VIP is $100. That means you can come both days, and you get the swag bag and three other amazing entrepreneurship opportunities to be a part of a class. So know today, get the opportunity to and share on September 23rd and 24th, and yes, okay, so this is the 11th 79th Street Renaissance, September 10th, 2016. Yes, and it starts at 10 a.m. Yes, on 79th and Racine. Don't forget to get out there and have some fun in the festivities. You're talking about something that is a whole lot of fun. This is one of the things that I think I love about the 79th Street Festival. It is a lot of fun, a lot of festivities, a lot of activities, face painting going on, a lot of beautiful artists, local artists, DJs are out there, dancing is out there, food is out there. So if you get a chance, make sure you stop by 79th and Racine. It's from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. September 10th, the Remarkable Woman Conference. Just give me a call, 773-447-5591. That's September 23rd and 24th. And I love you. And I want to remind you that you are a gift. And what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember to choose love. Love is really the only choice. And remember to dream your God-sized dream. And live them. And remember to keep your head to the sky. This is Mesa family. Keep your head to the sky. Have fun today. Have fun, family. Enjoy your day.
Causing anyone any pain.